Well, happy Friday morning to everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. And yes, this is live. And I have had one heck of a week. Heart surgery on Monday and live radio on Friday. The miracles of modern medicine absolutely astound me. And what I have been through this week has been really amazing, very emotional for me and family members. And I'm feeling good today. I had a couple days where, well, the day of the procedure, it was not a great day, but I felt better the next day and started walking down up and down the hallway. They made me lay flat for longer than they normally do because of the bleeding. But I don't mean to get gross or anything, but I'm, you know, it's just, it was a different kind of procedure. A lot of people have stents put in. It seems like that happens every day. It's a very common thing. Mine was a little bit more complex because of the locations of my blockages. I had a 90% blockage and a 75%. And they were able to, but they were in bad spots, at the very top of the main arteries. And, you know, I'm just really grateful that we were able to, or I was able to notice just a little bit of discomfort in my chest. Not like it didn't hurt. I didn't feel anything in my neck or my arm or any of the things like I was having a heart attack. I just felt kind of a little bit of pressure and thought that I could duplicate it by just moving around. But mentioned that to my doctor, and he said, so let's move this a little bit further down the testing road. So we did, and I'm glad we did. The procedure itself lasted about an hour. And done at Park West in Knoxville. And one of the guy who did it, well, there were two doctors that were involved in it because of they had to put a pump in my heart to keep the blood circulating so that they could work and not be concerned about time. And I didn't want them to be concerned about time either, quite frankly. So I am back in action, and gosh, I'm appreciative of the support that I've gotten from everybody. I mean, just family and friends and people that I don't even know are sending well wishes in my direction. It's just amazing how much that means if you really pay attention and don't take it for granted. It is such a blessing to have people who actually care about you. And, you know, those of you who feel alone or whatever and you don't think anybody cares, sometimes you just have to look in different places because there are people that are out there that just, I think their number one mission in life is to share love and comfort and good things. And there's always somebody that you can reach out to. And I'm glad I was surrounded. I felt like I had this protective bubble prayer around, or prayer of bubble. I don't know how to say it, but I had this, I was like the bubble boy in a Seinfeld episode, except I was surrounded by prayer. How's that? So, you know, some things are hard to describe, and the emotional experiences that I've had this week have been hard to describe. But I'm grateful to be here, and hopefully we can continue this. I plan on being here all next week. I'm actually at my home, broadcasting from my home office. Well, it's really not an office. It's kind of like a museum. I like to surround myself with stuff. You know, the thing is, I don't like to have it in drawers. I like to have it on display where I can look up and I can see it. There's my Roy Rogers hat from when I was about 3 or 4 years old, sitting on top of one of my bookshelves, and, you know, pictures of me and my son playing golf, and one of my dad's old transistor radios. You open up the back of that thing, and it's really small, but it's got tubes in it. I think it's an RCA. You know, those are the kind of things I like to have around me. And, it's kind of a dusting issue, though. You know, when it comes to dusting, it does create kind of a problem. But anyway, we'll get through that. Well, I'm going to take my first break, and I'll be back here in just 1 minute. Okay, I am back. You know, one of the things that I've been advocating for this year, and most of it occurred last year, is a level playing field when it comes to advertising. Now, you know, when it comes to level playing fields, you can think it's level, but if you don't really pay close attention, you won't realize that any level at all, and the odds are stacked against you. And, you know, when government is tasked with the responsibility of enforcing behaviors on the part of non-governmental people, like other car dealers, then sometimes, especially during a pandemic or, you know, when they're short-staffed, things just don't happen and they fall through the cracks. And that's when people have to step up and make things known and rattle the bushes a little bit. And that's what I did with the Motor Vehicle Commission. They didn't seem to be listening to the issues that I had with dealer advertising. And quite frankly, it was because of what one of my competitors was doing to me. And I know that may sound self-serving, probably is. But, you know, when you're attacked with advertising that is not legal and is deceptive, I'm not sure what I started to say. But anyway, it's when you have advertising that is not fair and deceptive to the consumer, then that leads to them, customers going to them as opposed to coming to you. And to me, that's not fair. And when you say things that are untrue but sound really good to folks, then they will respond to that. Now, you may think that, well, customers should be smart enough to, or wise enough, I should say, to go in and discern whether something is, you know, whether they're being taken advantage of or not. But many times they just get exhausted. You know, sometimes you just get tired of fighting and you just lay down and you let people take advantage of you. Well, I'm an advocate for doing the opposite, because that's what happened. I had a dealer that was just throwing out a lot of false advertising out there, and I challenged the Motor Vehicle Commission. I got their attention better by going through my state representative and also the Tennessee Automobile Dealers Association. So I was triangulating. You know, that's when you come from three different sides. And attacked the problem with pretty forcefully. Actually pushed it maybe a little too hard. Matter of fact, when the administrative people, especially the head administrator for the Motor Vehicle Commission, says, you know, in a nice way, Lenny, you need to back off a little bit. I needed to listen to that, and I did. And so I was rewarded just recently. I was looking at the Motor Vehicle Commission. Well, this was actually the TAA, Tennessee Automobile Dealers Association bulletin. And I was glad to see one of the headlines that said motor vehicle advertising rule change. Now, there was already one last month, and it just didn't go far enough. So I fired off another email, and I think they're listening. I think I got their attention. So no longer can a dealer advertise a price on a car that doesn't include all optional equipment that is on the car that they're advertising. So here's what was happening. Dealers, or should I say probably singular, dealer A was advertising that they had this car for sale that they would sell at this price. You may hear my dog barking outside. I apologize. Yeah, there she is. That's shady. But, you know, if somebody advertises a price on a vehicle, shouldn't it include everything that it takes to buy that vehicle? So if a car has factory-installed air conditioning, it has, some type of special safety system, and those are options that are on the car. It was ordered that way from the factory. But the dealer chooses to use the base price and say, you can buy this vehicle for $20,000. That's the base price. But when you go and look at the window sticker on the car, it's $30,000 because it actually has all this additional equipment on it. And they handle that in the dealership in different ways. Now, if I was a customer walking into that situation, I would look at the salesperson and say, really? You've got to be kidding me. So I came in here on this $20,000 price, and you say it doesn't include the factory installed options? Give me a break. And then I would leave. So this was actually not clear in the Motor Vehicle Commission advertising rules for dealers for the state of Tennessee. And so I can understand if there are dealer-installed accessories. Let's say that a dealer installed a bed liner and that wasn't included. Well, they can take a bed liner out You know, if I go in there and they say, well, you got to pay us for this bed liner too. No, really don't. That was not in the advertisement. Didn't say it had a bed liner. And, well, we've installed a bed liner. Well, then I'll just go someplace else. So you can play that game with them if you want to. I'm not going to. Life is too short to play games. And, you know, a lot of these salespeople, they're just doing what they're told to do. And they really don't know how to respond. They haven't been in the business long enough. You know, I'd say 30% of the salespeople out there have been in the business 5 years or longer. 70% of the people that you talk to are going to be relative rookies, less than a year, many of them less than 6 months. I mean, the auto industry has the same kind of problems as other industries in finding people to do the job. So they got to be able to handle those situations, but don't set them up where they have to lie to the customer. And that's how the advertising guidelines were set up. So the rule now requires advertised prices to state that optional equipment and cost of any additional fees described under the commission's statute, including any dealer-imposed fee, state and local taxes, tax and registration and title fees, do not have to be disclosed. But, you know, if a vehicle has got, if you're quoting a price, especially on a new car, it has to have MSRP in there. I'm so grateful for that. Because, you know, dealers were not using the actual retail price. Now, right now, MSRP is about what it costs to buy a vehicle. In many cases, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 over that due to the shortages that we have. And yes, people are coming in and paying that. You know, when you know, if you're a dealer, let's just look at this logically. If you normally sell 20 Ford Explorers a month, and right now you're going to get one, and your customer can't find one anywhere else. And you know, you can't stay in business just selling one unless you charge more for it. Then you're going to charge more for it. That's just life. You would do the same thing. You may say, well, that's unethical to charge more than MSRP. Well, that's why they call it MSRP, manufacturer's suggested retail price. The dealer can charge anything he wants to. You know, it's funny you see this dichotomy where if a dealer does it, it's not, you know, it's not right. But if a customer does it, oh, that's okay. You know, he can charge whatever he wants to. So somebody comes in and buys a Corvette, a C8 Corvette at Champion Chevrolet. They pay window sticker for it because Tim Copenhaver is a nice guy and Andy Dietrich is too. And so you go in there, they'll sell you a vehicle for MSRP plus documentation fee and taxes and stuff like that. Still a great deal because a lot of dealers are charging more than that. Customer buys it. The next day he puts it on Bring a Trailer Auction or he puts it on some type of website and he advertises it for $30,000 over that. He can actually get that right now. Is that okay for a consumer to do it, but not okay for the dealer to do it? So that's what's going on right now. There's this war going on right now between consumers. Well, I wouldn't call it a war. Maybe it's a cold war. Kind of like us and Russia. Cold. Getting warmer, but still cold. So I think it's unfair, but let's just get back to the advertising thing. You know, it's unfair to have somebody come in on based on one premise. It shouldn't be a premise, right? You should be able to see it, and whatever it is what it is when you come into the dealership to, you know, do the deal, so to speak. So, you know, this is has been a thing of great frustration for the car guru and something that I think that I played a big part in fixing. I'll get no credit for it. There won't be any statues to me. I don't want any statues anyway. I just want it fixed, you know, so that when my family members are trying to compete and some, you know, people from out of state come in and buy a dealership and start, you know, breaking all the rules, somebody's got to be held accountable for it. And, you know, so that's what I did. Now, dock fee can no longer be included in the advertised price. So what is a dock fee? It's extra profit, okay? I mean, the dealers, they come up with all, well, this is what it costs to process the paperwork and to pull credit bureau reports and yada, yada, yada. You know, dock fees, I remember when we first started charging dock fees over on Church Street in Greenville at Chevy store. I think our first dock fee was $25 or something like that. And we did it in response to what some other dealers were doing. And there are some costs involved in running a finance office and stuff. But, I mean, that's just something that you bear. But what really got dock fees going was when the manufacturers kept chipping away at the margin. You know, so we went from, I remember back in the 70s, we had like 18% markup in a Chevy Impala, for example. It was a Chevy C10 pickup truck. I started to say F-150. I was not a Ford guy back then. You know, I still got some Chevy in my blood. Everything, all of my memorabilia from my dad is all Chevrolet. I mean, I've got ashtrays and you name it. Playing cards. I'm looking at a set of playing cards right now with Chevy all over them. And that, you know, and I don't want that to go away, but that's a side point. But I definitely didn't want the margins to go down to what they are now, which is anywhere from 7% to 9%. I mean, that doesn't leave you a lot of room. Now, granted, car prices have escalated dramatically. The profit margin, while a low percentage, still yields a pretty good return if you get close to MSRP. But there are some vehicles that you can sell for MSRP and you make $250, and with all of the other charges. So the manufacturers have taken a lot of the margin out, and then dealers started saying, well, we got to make money somehow. The first thing they did was create finance offices, because financing was not a thing until the late 60s. Around here, probably the early 70s, is when dealers started creating a finance department, where you could actually buy the car in the dealership, and they would handle all of the finance contract and stuff like that. Banks didn't like it much. Some banks got into it. There are two types of lending when it comes to car dealers. Direct lending, which is they don't let the car dealer participate, where you go to the bank and get your money after you've made a deal. And then indirect lending is where the dealership takes you back to a finance office. You sign a contract, which they submit to the bank in order to get paid. You don't have to worry about getting the dealership a check. They have an indirect lending relationship with the bank. And that works pretty good. But then they ran out of products to sell, and so dock fees started increasing. They went from $65. There are some dealers in Knoxville charging over $1,000 now for a processing fee. And then they've got all these other charges that they're trying to do because of the shortages of inventory. So they're coming up with, like, for example, oh, yeah, we'll sell you a Chevy Corvette for, let's say, MSRP, $72,000. But you also have to buy the Corvette or the Champion Chevrolet Corvette Protection Pack. Well, they don't do this, okay, but there are other Chevrolet dealers that do. This protection package, well, how much is it? It's $99.95. You mean $99? No, $9,995. And people's eyes bug out of their heads, and they start blasting them on Facebook. And that's what happens when you have, you know, unscrupulous people in the car business. But there are unscrupulous people in every business. I mean, I talk to a lot of people who are building houses and, you know, they're having to deal with contractors and subcontractors who, you know, don't keep promises, don't show up, you know, lie and cheat and steal and all this stuff. So it is lawyers, you know, there's a lot of businesses that break the rules. I better be careful mentioning lawyers, though. They can get back at you. Well, anyway, I'm going to take my last break. I'm feeling pretty good. I'll be back here in just a few minutes. You know, another thing that amazed me about this whole heart procedure that I went through was just the level of professionalism that you see in that type of a setting. It is so much more precise and it has to be than like a typical business. You know, a typical business, if we ran like a hospital or like an operating room, we'd probably be a lot more successful than we are. But I want to praise the nurses and the doctors and how they treated me and made me feel comfortable. You know, you're in a very strange land, you know, when you go in for something like this, and just the ability to put somebody at ease and make them feel good. Now, they can make you feel good with certain drugs that they give you, but I'm talking about before that ever happens, they have a calming effect, you know, and the nurses were just wonderful. And so, you know, and then on the family, you know, there was one situation where my wife walked out. I actually passed out in the room. I told her I just wasn't feeling good, and it just came on me like a flood. And she went running out in the hall. There was nobody, and ran down the hallway, got somebody's attention who looked at her like she was disturbing her, you know, from her some game or something or work she was doing. But anyway, All Points Bulletin came out apparently, and they all ran down to my room, and I had just, they call it a vagal syncope or something like that. I passed out. And that happened twice within an hour, and I have no idea what caused it. And they said it just happens sometimes when you have a trauma like that. But it shook my wife up pretty bad. And there was, she had nobody there, you know, except me. And I wasn't helping. So anyway, we got that squared away, and she explained to the doctors, you know, when you get bad service, you need to complain. I mean, a lot of people don't, but you need to complain in the right way. Don't yell and scream, and just make your dissatisfaction known, and people will usually respond in the right way. At least that's what I've found out. But anyway, I'm here, and I hope to be here Monday, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak to you and to have a great audience that listens and gives me feedback. It's a great blessing to me, and I hope at some point in your automotive life that I can be a blessing to you as well. Well, thanks for listening, and we will see you Monday morning, I guess. Have a great weekend.